Tonight is our final night, talking about the New Covenant believer's position in authority. And last week we were talking about the armor of God. So tonight we're going to continue with that and finish up talking about the armor of God. You know, last week I talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And not only that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that's who He is, that's who we are, and that's our position in Christ, but because that is so, and because that's our identity, it should be reflected in our life. The Word talks about pursuing righteousness. And I'm not talking about legalism or works, but I'm talking about if that's who we say we are, it should be reflected in our everyday life, pursuing righteousness. You know, it talks about walking in love. If we say we abide in Him and we're God's children, we should be walking in love. It should be reflected in our life. Same thing with forgiveness. If we are harboring unforgiveness in our life, it shows that we are not pursuing who we are in the Spirit, which is we are righteous, we're in right standing with God. And that should be reflected in our life. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So what is that saying? If we're walking in unforgiveness, we're open ground for the enemy. And he's saying, don't be ignorant. That's one of his devices for us to harbor unforgiveness in our heart. So we are to reflect on who we are in the Spirit. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. So if that's who I am, and that's who Jesus is in me, right? That's his nature. That's his character in me, right? And who is Jesus? What is his character? He's love. He's forgiveness, right? That's who he is dwelling in me. Therefore, if I'm abiding in him, and I say I'm abiding in him and I have a relationship with him, therefore I should walk in forgiveness towards other people. That's pursuing righteousness, right? That's just a demonstration of our walk, you know, for us abiding in him and us living in him. Amen. So let's go on to the next armor. Let's go on to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And Ephesians 6:15 says, "Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So what is the gospel of peace? You know, the gospel of peace is talking about how Christ has won the battle. He has conquered the enemy. Amen. You don't have to work. You don't have to strive anymore. You can rest in what Christ has provided, what Christ has done for us. It's all been done. The work has been done. Like it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, he nailed all the handwritten requirements upon the cross. Amen. That's the gospel of peace. That's the good news of the gospel. If for those who believe, for those who receive it, that's the peace, right? No more do you have to make atonement for your own sins. He's already provided it. He's made atonement. The work is finished. All we got to do is believe, and that's the gospel of peace. Now, having said that, you know, we have to be prepared to bring that gospel of peace to people in our own lives. If we don't have peace in our hearts, we don't really have much to take to other people. Amen. If we say we are God's people, but yet our lives are falling apart, we're anxious all the time. We're always panicking. We're always worried. What's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, am I going to make it till tomorrow? We're depressed, right? We have no value to those on the outside, to those who need to hear this gospel of peace. But it first must be evident in our life. It first must be a revelation on our life, this gospel of peace, right? So we have to have that peace in our life. Otherwise, we cannot stand up against the enemy. We'll fall victim to the onslaughts of the enemy every time. If we don't have a revelation of that peace, that good news, that peace that Jesus came to bring us. Amen. That's why we have to have a revelation of that in our life. That's why it says in the Word in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace. Well, that's in our spirit, in our new man. But a lot of times, you know, that's where it stays for most people. It's not reflected in our everyday life. The way we view things, the way we look at life, that fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be in everything we do. Isn't that something? You know, a lot of times I like to say this, you know, some people, we could sing the fruit of the Spirit, we could quote the fruit of the Spirit, but it has to be more than that. That peace must be evident in our life, must be reflected in our life. That's why it says in Colossians 3:15 said, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Peace of God. His peace. Knowing that He has everything taken care of. Knowing that He is on our side. Knowing that no matter what it is that we're facing, gosh, we serve a big God. We serve the Lord of the universe. Amen. That's letting the peace of God rule our heart. That no matter what we're facing, whatever He says trumps whatever we're seeing with our eyes. That's letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, in Philippians 4, 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is that saying? When it means surpasses all understanding. Well, with the natural mind, sometimes, you know, there are things that are going on. But when you have the peace of God, a revelation of God's peace in your heart, man, you are at rest. You know that word peace also means rest? It means you're at rest. That no matter, like, you know, every time I think about peace, I think about Jesus sleeping on that boat in the middle of the storm. But it's the disciples that are running around frantic. And He's at peace. Right? It goes beyond understanding why He's at peace. But He's at peace. And that's the way all peace is supposed to be. That's why it says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, perfect peace I give unto you, whose mind is stayed on me. Every time we see that we're frantic or we're worried or we're like those disciples thinking, oh my God, this time is the time we're going to die. We have to take note. Is my mind on Him? Am I thinking upon what Christ has done and who He is in me? Amen. If you know, we can take note of what we're focused on. If we're focused more on our problem, I promise you, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried, right? But if we focus on what Christ has done and who He is and how He's on our side, and we don't have to fret, like it says in the Word of God in Psalms 37, do not fret, right? If we focus on that, if we focus on, oh my God, I serve up the living God. He's my Savior. Wow. Man, it brings that peace that you can't even explain. People come and ask you, I don't understand. Why is it you're so calm? Because I got the living one, the great I am, living on the inside of me. Amen. And that's that kind of peace that needs to guard our heart. Okay, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can you abound in joy and peace? In believing. When you trust Him. Right? And you're going to hear that word trust quite a bit. I think that's the essence of the Christian walk. Trusting. Believing. Right? So, if you want to abound in peace, you need to trust Him. You need to believe what He's saying to you. Believe what the Word is saying to you. Right? Believe who He says, what He says you are. You need to believe it and trust Him. So, and in John 16:33, the truth is, you know, in this world, things will come. We'll face many, the enemy will bring obstacles. Right? But we have to have this attitude, you know, that Jesus Christ is on my side. And I don't have anything to fear. You know, in John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's saying, get happy, get excited. Yes, yes, no doubt about it, things will come. But get happy, I have overcome. And the overcomer lives on the inside of us. And I think that's good news. And we need to meditate on that. We need to renew our minds that the overcomer, the one who has overcome, lives on the inside of us. Amen. Amen. And then we're going to, and you see, when we meditate on that, you're going to see we're going to be walking in victory in our life. And when we're walking in victory, we're able to take this good news of the gospel to those on the outside. Look what I have. This victory, because of this gospel of peace, because of the Prince of Peace who lives on the inside of me. Amen. And we're able to share it with effectiveness. But now if we're falling apart at every whim, and we want to share the gospel of peace with someone, it's like, I'm sorry, but you're no different than I am. You're just as depressed or even more depressed than I am. Why would I want to listen to you? Right? But whatever you have there is not working for you. And that's what you hear a lot of times. People want to see something that's real. It's a reality living in our life. Not just something we just spout out from our mouth or a verse we spout from our mouth. They want to see something that we're actually living in our life and demonstrating in our life. That's the reality of living the gospel, of living what we believe. Okay, so the next piece of armor is the shield of faith. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, the shield, when the Roman soldier had a shield, it covered his whole body. It was a big shield. And it's saying here, with the shield of faith, it protects us. And it keeps us from being killed by the enemy. That's what the shield of faith is used for. And a quick definition of faith, it's just simply trust. It's just a firm persuasion. It's a firm adherence to promises. It's a confidence. It's an assurance. So when we say we have faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done, we're saying we're persuaded of it. We're saying we're confident in it. We're assured of it. And nothing can move us off of that. That's what faith is. No, Hebrews 11:1 gives us a definition of what faith is. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what is faith? Faith is not based on our five senses. It's not based on what we could feel, what we could see, we could smell. It's not based on what we could see out there. Faith is being assured of whatever God says in his word is true, no matter if we're not seeing out here yet. Right? Faith is saying, you know what, I'm persuaded of what God's word has said because his word is truth. You know, we talk about the belt of truth. We talk about knowing his truth, knowing his word. Faith is saying, you know what, his word is truth no matter who says what out there or what my circumstances are speaking to me. Whatever it's saying, whatever my experience is saying, if it goes contrary to the word of God, I'm not going to believe it. Faith is saying, I'm only going to believe what God's word is saying to me. And I'm not moving off of that. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that should be our motto. That's who we are as believers. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because if we only walk by sight and by what we see, we're going to be emotional roller coaster. We're going to be up and down all the time. But we need to base our faith on God's word that's never changing. We need to place our faith in Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Amen. That's what our faith needs to be based on. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying we're working for this? No. What I'm saying, in that verse, if we read that verse, let's go to Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, we know God is already pleased with us. He loves us. Okay? We can't get more love out of God, and he already loves us right now. He loves us, period. Amen? His love towards us is unconditional. Okay? But when we were walking in that understanding of how much God loves us and how much he's pleased with us, right? We trust him. We believe his word, right? In Galatians 5:6, it says, faith works by love. When we have a revelation of how much God loves us and how much, his intense love towards us, we believe him. We trust him. Amen. And that's pleasing God. When we say, Lord Jesus, you know what? Things are coming against me. I mean, it's been going on for days, weeks, months, but God, I trust you. I believe your word. When your word says, you shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I believe your word when it says, by your stripes I was healed. It's a done deal. I believe you, God. I trust you. And that pleases God. To see that we are believing in the finished work of the cross. That we're trusting Him. Amen. And that's what this faith, it protects us. But if we get into doubt and fear, oh my God, you know what? No, the last time it took a month. This time it's taking 2 months, you know? And that fear starts to creep in. I wonder if it's not going to work this time. I don't know. It's looking a bit iffy, right? Unbelief starts to creep in. Well, what's happening there? We're opening the door for the enemy to pounce on us, right? So that's why we need to know what the word is saying. Now, Abraham was convinced of what God was saying about him. And we see that in Romans chapter 4. It's a pretty familiar passage of scripture. But we notice what happened with Abraham in Romans chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 12, where God called him out. God told him he was going to be the father of many nations. Right? And he was a very old man. He was not in the prime of his life. And God said, out of you, right, you're going to have a son, a promised child. Okay, but the word said his body was weak. He was old man. Right? Sarah was way beyond childbearing age. Right? But what does the word says? Let's go in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Well, in verse 17, it's talking about how God is saying, I've made you a father of many nations. But in Romans 4:18, it says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And that being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he would also be able to perform. So here it is, Abram was fully convinced of what God spoke to him. He didn't consider his circumstances. I'm sure he had lots of people who were laughing at them. Oh my gosh, what did God say to you? You know, so he had to endure mockery from people, right? But the word said he didn't consider that. He considered the word of God. I believe he would, in the night time, he'll go up and look at the stars of the skies. He considered what God said. So shall my descendants be. Amen. In the daytime, as he walked through the desert, right, he looked at the grains of the sand. So shall my descendants be as the grains of the sand. Right, he did not consider his circumstances. That's faith. He trusted in God's word, what God's word said to us. And that's what needs to be in our life. God's word has to be bigger than what we're facing. Bigger than what we're seeing. We had to be so fully convinced, persuaded in our heart of what God's word is saying is true. Amen. That's walking in that unwavering faith, or not walking in unbelief. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10 and 12, and it's talking about the children of Israel, how he kept coming through for them time and time again. He parted the Red Sea. They saw all these great miracles. But it says in verse 10, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living one. You know, when we are not trusting God, that shows we don't know his ways. That shows we don't really know him. But when we trust him, it shows that we know our God. Right? And when we know our God, we can believe him. We can trust his word. Right? We don't open that door to unbelief. Right? When we're truly trusting God, we're truly walking in faith, there's rest. Faith is not we're working ourselves up and, you know, I don't know how to explain. It's just like an anxiety behind it. When we're truly walking in faith, we're at rest. Because we know it's done. We're not trying to get it done. Faith is out of position of knowing it's already done. We're just waiting for the manifestation. in the physical realm. It's already a done deal. We're not working up trying to get healed. Healing has already taken place. It's already a done deal. We believe it. We're just waiting for the manifestation to take place in our bodies. Amen. It's out of a position of rest. And in Hebrews 4, verse 1, it said, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Order the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So even though the works has already been finished from the foundation of the world, if we give in to unbelief, right, we don't enter into his rest. Amen. So he's saying, enter into my rest. Believe me. Trust in me. Amen. And if we trust in him, we don't open the door to the enemy. And you may say, what does this have to do with authority? It has everything to do with authority. Right? Believing God and trusting his word is taking your authority and walking who you are in Christ. Anything that shuts the door to the enemy is taking your authority. Amen. A lot of times we think taking authority is just casting out demons here, there, and everywhere. You know, I'm talking about walking in victory in our everyday life. Amen. So we want to know how to, you know, increase in our faith. Well, the word says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Get into the word of God. You're struggling in a particular area. Get into God's word. Man, feed on his word. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his goodness. Feed on what the word is saying to us. Right? You know, in our life, we've been on a mission field for 13 years. 13 years. And it's been a faith, walking by faith. Trusting God. But you know, it had to take me believing what God's word said about me for me to step out. You know, when God first told us, you know, we were going to Russia, man, I was scared. I mean, it was our first time. We didn't have supporters. No one knew us. Okay. We had two little babies. Okay. I was going into a foreign land. They spoke a different language. We weren't guaranteed anything. But all we knew, God said to go to Russia. And then he spoke to me. He told me, he said, I am the same God wherever you go. And I have equipped you with everything you need. Now I had to make a choice. Was I going to trust his word, trust what he was saying to me, or was I going to give in to my fear? Right? And give in to what other people were saying. Okay, because there were people who were laughing and saying, gosh, you guys are not going to make it. Right? I know what? I chose to believe his word. Right? And shut the door to the enemy and say, you know what, devil, you're a liar. My God is the same God wherever I go. And you say, he has equipped me with everything I need. So I took him at his word. I trusted his word. And we stepped out. And I praise God that we stepped out. Man, amen. It was awesome. I'm happy to be where I am. Trusting God. I don't want to live any differently. And every month, day to day, we live by faith, trusting God. But we know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know I can count on his love for me. Amen. I know when he spoke in that same word he spoke to me 13 years ago still applies to me today. So every time it seems to be like, you know, it may be a month or two there where finances may be low, I say, praise God, amen. You took care of me last month, you're going to take care of me this month. No, many years ago, when Sean and I were first married, we had an instance where, man, it was month to month we were believing for money to pay our rent. And it was one of those months, and I was getting into the shower, and this dread hit me. Oh, gosh, rent is due. And I heard a laugh. It was the Lord. And he wasn't laughing at me, but he was laughing in the sense of, and he said, do you not think, you know, I wouldn't be able to take care of you this month when I took care of you last month? And man, I said, rejoice. Amen. That's the God I serve. Amen. So I can count on him. And that's the same God I serve today. He never changes. You know, the word talks about Abram. By faith, he went out, not knowing where he was going. The same thing for Sean and I. We came to South Africa. We didn't really know anyone. We had nowhere to live. We didn't know anything. Okay, but we came because we know God said to come. And I'm happy we came. You mean a lot of times we let things, the unknown, stop us. But when we have God's word, we can trust His word. His word is powerful. Amen. That's walking by faith, trusting His word, and He always comes true. Same thing with the disciples on the boat. Jesus said, get into the boat and go to the other side. But they didn't trust in His word. Their eyes were on the storm. Now, if they'd remembered His word, where He said, you know what, He said, get into the boat and go to the other side. What does that mean? That means it's going to be okay. No matter what storm is going on, we have His word. It's going to be okay. We just got to have faith. Trust and unwavering faith. Amen. So that's the shield of faith. Amen. That's walking in that in faith. That's putting on that shield, knowing that, trusting in Him. Okay, the next weapon is the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6. It said, take the helmet of salvation. Okay, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Okay, who is our salvation? We know, well, Jesus is our salvation. And what is salvation? Well, it's everything Jesus accomplished for us by His death, burial, and resurrection. It's what He did accomplish for us on the cross. And as a result of that, we have eternal life. We know Him, right? We can have that eternal life, that abundant life, because of what He did on the cross, that salvation, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? We have been redeemed. That's salvation. And so it says, put on the helmet of salvation. I know another reference in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we see here the helmet is also referred to as the hope, the helmet of hope, right? And in Psalm 71:5, it says, the Lord is our hope. Think about that. So we're putting on hope. And He is our hope. We're putting on Jesus. Right? We're putting on that helmet of hope. Hope safeguards our minds. You know, there are so many things that's coming against our mind. Now, we talk about the greatest weapon the enemy uses is deception. He comes against our mind. He attacks our minds with hopelessness. There's no hope. Right? And Jesus is our hope. And when we put on hope, when we dwell in hope, right, it protects us from the onslaughts of the enemy, protects us from the enemy, the lies of the enemy. Now, Hebrews 6:19 says, hope is the anchor of our soul. Hope. What He did. Salvation. He has redeemed us. We are a new creation. Amen. We have eternal life. We have such a relationship with Him. Because of salvation, we get to know Him. We're brought back into fellowship with Him. Amen. Because of salvation and because of the new man, Jesus Christ Himself, hope, lives on the inside of us. So here it is in Ephesians chapter 6, is admonishing us to put on that helmet of hope. Okay? Meditate on that. Renew our minds to what happened when we're born again. Renew our minds to who lives on the inside of us. You know, the hope of salvation says, you know what? Hanging there. No matter what trouble is coming against you, don't worry, this too shall pass. That's what hope is saying. Hope is saying it keeps us calm and rational in troubled times. You know that we're living in troubled times? I mean, we may not be facing the full brunt of it as some people, brothers and sisters in other countries are facing. You know, they're facing death every day. They're facing persecution every day, right? They may not know if they're going to be alive tomorrow. But when we put on the helmet of hope, we know this is not it. This is not our home. We're just passing through. You know, there's a song that says, this is not our home. We're only passing through. And a lot of times we live here like this is all, there is altered. This is not altered. Okay? Right? So hope safeguards our mind. So we're able to stand strong and not fall apart. If we're falling apart, we're not putting on our helmet of hope. It's not a hopeless situation. There is hope. Jesus is our hope. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says this light affliction is but for a moment. Whatever we're facing is but for a moment. You're going through a bad marriage. It's but for a moment. Seriously. It's not the end of the world. Okay? You've been diagnosed with something that's terminal. It's but for a moment. Amen. What's the worst going to happen? Right? When we die, we go to be with Jesus. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's hope. When you start thinking about things in light of what God's word says, makes you want to jump up and down and shout. Because Jesus is hope. He came to bring us hope. And saying, you know what, guys, man, I've come to set you free. I've redeemed you. I've paid the price. The work has been done. Amen. The victory's already there. Just trust in it. Believe it. So when we say, you know, when we're able to say, you know, thank you, Jesus, you are my hope. You live on the inside of me. Amen. No matter what happens, amen. Victory is mine. I'm more than a conqueror. Right? We have hope. We have hope, like it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's talking about our glorified bodies. Amen. When you look in the mirror, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. Is there hope for me? Yes! Amen! You're going to have a glorified body. Amen! That's good news. Alright? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. So let's continue talking about that. There's a hope we will have a glorified body. When we die, I mean, that's not the end of it. Amen. We're going to have a glorified body. And that's good news. Jeremiah 17:17 says, you are my hope, talking about Jesus, in the day of evil. Amen. Romans 5:5, he says, now hope does not disappoint. Right? I like to look at it this way. Now hope, who is Jesus, does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. His love, when we know his love, right, that hope safeguards us. It doesn't disappoint us because we know this too shall pass. I like to say that. This too shall pass. Whatever it is you're facing today, and may seem to you at that time, oh my gosh, I don't know if there'll be an end to it, just tell yourself, this too shall pass. Nothing lasts forever. Amen. And when you trust in the Lord, and when your hope is in the Lord, it works out perfectly. It always works out. Amen. And that may not be the exact way you anticipated, but it always works out. Sometimes even better than you anticipated. And I love those times. It's like, wow, praise the Lord. I'm happy, Lord, my hope was in you. Amen. You know, in Proverbs it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. Man, you know what it means? It means when you're not trusting God, you're going to be depressed. Yeah, and you're going to feel like throwing up. I've been there. When you're looking at your circumstances in the wrong way, right? You're not trusting in Him. You're not trusting in His Word. Right? That's Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, I know we had a student in Russia. Man, he was a mess. Anyway, he came one day, and he was just, you know, he had been through the Bible school. While he was in Bible school, he was excited. Woo, he was excited. You know? People pampered him because he was a bit sickly, so he had all the ladies hovering around him, making him tea, taking care of him. He was good. You know, he was happy while he was in Bible school. He loved what he was hearing. But when he graduated and a few months had passed, he came to visit us and he was so depressed. He's like, oh, my life is horrible. Nothing works out for me. Nothing is right in my life. Nothing. And he's complaining. He's groaning. I just looked at him. I said, so nothing's right in your life, huh? I said, are you saved? Are you born again? Did Jesus die for you? I said, if you had nothing else that was going your way, you have one thing that's gone your way. Jesus Christ died for you. Amen. He's redeemed you. He paid a price for your sins. If that's all you had, you have something to rejoice about. Amen. That's the way we need to look at things. Praise the Lord. Because of what He has done, I've been reconciled to Him. I'm joint heirs with Christ. He lives on the inside of me. I can know Him. I think that's good news. But sometimes we get so sidetracked, you know. We're looking at all these things out here. When we have the most important thing we need to focus on, we have Jesus. Jesus himself. Amen. On the inside of us. And we need to dwell on that. We need to meditate on that. And know that he's our hope. And he will never disappoint us. He will never let us down. We can always count on him. Now, Titus 2:13 talks about there's hope, right? That he is coming back. Praise the Lord. I mean, this world is going down fast. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but you know what? There's going to be an end. But praise the Lord, he is coming back. And we have hope. You know, when the world could be running around with like a chicken with their head cut off, we have hope that our Savior, he's coming back for us. Right? We have hope in that. So we can put on the helmet of hope. Amen. And guard our hearts. Okay, the last piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6 is talking about the sword of the Spirit. And of course, that student couldn't answer me. He had to stop crying when I told him, you know what? Stop crying. And he talked, and this man was an older man, gentleman. I was like, what's wrong with you? Snap out of it. He saved you. He bought you with his precious blood. Amen. Rejoice. But sometimes people don't want to hear that. They want you to cry with them, you know? Feel sorry for them. But I wasn't doing that. So he was in trouble. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, in order for us to exercise our legal rights and privileges, we must know God's word. We can't get around it. We must know God's word. No, Satan's power to deceive us is on the ground of ignorance. When we don't know God's word, right? The word says, no, people, God's people are often destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Now, what I mean knowledge, I'm not talking about, you know, you have it all up here in your head. I'm talking about a revelation knowledge in your heart, right? And a lot of times, that's why a lot of people are destroyed. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know what they have in Christ. And they don't know anything. They just know, okay, we go to church, and that's about it. They don't know what the word says about them, right? So that's open grounds for the enemy when we don't know God's word. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is powerful. You know, a lot of times people are running after everything else except the word of God. They're running after man's word rather than getting to God's word. And it's God's word that has the power. Amen. It's God's word that has the power to set you free. It's God's word that has the power to bring deliverance. Whatever it is you need, the key is in God's word. But yet, we run after everything else except God's word. We read every other book except God's word. Now, I'm not saying don't read books, okay? But our priority should be getting into God's word. I know in John 6:63 says, his word is spirit and life. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love God's word. It's just so awesome. Just so awesome. Just abiding in his word, getting into his word. Because that's where life is, his word. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, let's go there. He says, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You want to overcome the wicked one? You have to allow the word of God to abide in you. And you can take that twofold. You know, Jesus Christ was the word that became flesh. So we can look at from 2 points. He is the word, right? And we're talking about the word, the Bible. Both of those things abiding in you. Amen. You have to allow the word of God to abide in you. You have to get into God's word. And that's the only way you're going to overcome the wicked one. By getting into God's word, there's no way around it. No shortcuts. A lot of times we want a shortcut, don't we? We want to go to the latest seminar to get the latest shortcut, right? To be victorious. And Jesus is saying, hey, get into my word. Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word day and night, and you will make your way prosperous. Not that you're the one, but because you're believing in God's word, right? You're taking a hold of God's word, you're making your way prosperous. You have to get into God's word. You have to meditate on God's word. You know, in Ephesians 6:17, in the Amplified, I like how it says that. It says to wield the sword, right? What does that mean, to wield the sword of the Spirit? To me, it means to speak it. You need to speak the word of God. You know, in John 1:22, it says, not only hearers, but doers of the word. When you're speaking the word, you're demonstrating it. You have to speak forth. You know, the words out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So as you sow the word into your spirit, as you're meditating on the word of God, naturally it comes out of you. You speak it. James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. You know, if you truly believe the word, you will speak it, you will live it, and you'll demonstrate it. Period. If you truly believe the word, you'll speak it, you'll live it, and it'll be demonstrated in your life. Amen. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, man, you'll live it, right? You'll speak forth, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You'll demonstrate it, you'll live it, right? It wouldn't be in secret. You're like, you know what? I don't care if the world says, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. It will be reflected in my life. He is my Savior. Same thing goes with entirety of God's word. You need to speak God's word. I'm not talking about a formula, okay? I am not talking about speaking things so in order, you know, the backward way. You know what I'm saying? Or if I speak this long enough, then it'll be a reality. No. We're speaking things because it is real. It's alive. The word of God's alive. We believe it. We're persuaded of it. That's why we speak it. Not as a formula, but we're speaking because it is true. God, your word is truth. And I'll speak forth your truth. Amen. The enemy doesn't want us to speak the word. He wants to speak everything else except the word. He wants to speak every doubt and unbelief. Right? But you know what? That's an indicator of where we are. When we hear those things coming out of our mouth, it tells us, what have we been thinking upon? Right? Have we been in His word? Have we been sowing to the Spirit? Amen. Are we being spiritually minded? Are we being word-minded? Are we being carnally minded? Now, this is not to be condemning. For me, it's like freeing. Wow, you know what? Lisa, what have you been doing? What have you been sowing? Man, I love you, Jesus. I want you, the power of your word, to be active in my life. Man, I need to get into God's word. Man, enemy, you will not have hold on my life. My life will not be open ground for you. Man, I'm going to reign in life. Amen. I'm going to walk in my authority. I'm going to be victorious in my walk. So I'm going to get into your word, Lord Jesus. So there's power in God's word. When we sow it in our heart and when we speak it. You know, in Matthew 12:37 says, by your word you are justified and by your words you are condemned. Amen. I love that verse. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. There's no way around it, right? What are you speaking out of your mouth? And I'm not talking about when you get in with your friends from church. I'm talking about behind closed doors, when it's just nobody but you and your family, and they know who and know what, and you're free to speak. What are you saying, right? Take note of what you're saying. Take note of what you're saying in yourself. Man, do I trust Him? Do I believe His word? Amen. This is an encouragement, amen, for us to say, you know what? Man, I'm gonna wield the sword of the Spirit. I'm gonna get into your word. No, Jesus used the word. He did. He was our example. When He was tempted, in Matthew 4:1-10, there you could go and read that. And the enemy came against Him, right? He used the word. It is written. He put the enemy in his place. It is written. Over and over he said that. And Jesus is our example. Amen. So if Jesus did it, we should do it too. Enemy, it is written. Right? This is mine. Get out of here. Get off my family. Get off my finances. Amen. It is written. This is what the word says about me. And you stand on that. You know, in my life, I have a quick testimony about, you know, when I was expecting Rachel, and Sean will be off at work, and he worked the shifts. He would work from 4 till midnight. And a lot of times I would spend that time just reading the word, and just having my time with the Lord and speaking out the word. And it was on this particular night, a few nights in a row actually, God kept giving me Psalm 118, 17. And it was, I shall not die, but live, and shall declare the works of God. I didn't know why, but I was just, man, I was spending time with God, just speaking His word. And it was on this one particular night when Sean came home from work that my water broke. And that experience, it wasn't a really good one for me when I was giving birth to Rachel. It was supposed to be a home birth, and everything went wrong, where my blood pressure was so high, and my water broke, and I was in labor for 24 hours. And I could have died, but God gave me that verse, that I shall not die, but live, but shall declare the works of God. And I stood on that verse, and praise God, you know, Rachel was born normal, everything was great, and that was a testimony. I stood on that word. And but 8 years later, when we were in Russia, in 2006, Rachel got she was so sick. I mean, she's so sick. She had this high fever. She didn't know who Sean and I were. We said, who are we? She's like, she started to laugh at us. She was so delirious. She's like, you're my gym teacher. She didn't know who we were. Right. And so at that time, we had some friends visiting us from Russia, from Colorado. And they saw how serious this situation was, because Rachel didn't know who we were. Her brain was being fried by this high fever that she had. And to be honest with you, I could feel a little fear seeping into my heart. Right? Sean and I were praying in tongues, and she was laughing at us. And we're like, what are you laughing at? She was laughing. It was demonic. We could sense it was a demonic, whatever was going on was demonic. And I could sense a little bit of fear rising in my heart. You know, Abby was little too, and she was crying because, you know, her sister, what's wrong with my sister, you know? And this word came back to me. That word that God gave me the day I went to labor with Rachel. I shall not die, but live, and shall declare the works of God. And that word rose out of my heart. I said, devil, you are a liar. She shall not die, but live, and shall declare the works of God. And I tell you what, just like that fever broke. And she's like, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I'm telling you, it flipped like that. And that's wielding the word of God. That's taking your authority, right? But that wouldn't happen if I hadn't been sowing the word of God in my heart, standing on His word, right? And we can't wait to sow the word when we're in a predicament, when we're in trouble. Amen. We don't sow the word only when hard times are facing us. You know, when things are going good, that's the best time to be in the Word of God. Sow the Word of God in your heart. Okay, and because of that, I was able to wield that the sword of the Spirit and say, devil, you get out of here. She's a child of God. She shall not die, but live. And that's speaking forth what I truly believe in my heart. His Word. That's the power of God's Word. Amen. That's wielding the sword of the Spirit. You know, and I want to leave you with a passage of scripture in conclusion, because to me, this passage of scripture just sums up everything. It just shows you the whole armor of God in the Old Testament. And let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And here's the story of the Ammonites coming to battle against Jehoshaphat. You know, before in this group, I taught on this, a little bit on this, but I wanted to bring it back again because to me it reflects everything put together. Okay, so here's something bad's happening. The Ammonites are coming against King Jehoshaphat. And in verse 15, it says, and he said, well, the prophet is speaking, he said, listen to Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. So a lot of times we're facing this big multitude. But God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, right? God's there. He's with you, right? But it goes on and gets even better. Verse 16 says, tomorrow go down against them. They'll surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Druel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Praise the Lord. Is that what God is saying to us? You will not need to fight in this battle. Why? Why? He's won the battle. Right? Position yourselves. What is that saying to us? Okay, know who your identity is in Christ. Position yourself in who you are in Christ. Who Christ is in you. Position yourself. Renew your mind to who you are in Christ. All the things we talked about. Okay? You've been justified. You've been accepted. Amen. You've been redeemed. Position yourself. That's your position. Okay? Position yourself. Stand still. Be at rest. Stand still, right? Stand still, enter into his rest and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Amen. So that's everything together. Position yourself. Stand still, be at rest, right? But it goes on, right? What happened? Verse 20. It goes down in verse 20, it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So here it is, God saying, position yourself, be at rest, believe, believe, believe what he's saying to you, right? That you won't have to fight in this battle. It goes on to say in verse 22, right? And when they began to sing, well, before that, as a demonstration, they believed God. They went out. They sounded the praise and worship leaders, right? That's my version of it. And they began to sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And as a demonstration, now this is faith in action, right? Of what they truly believe, they began to sing praises. Amen. It came out of their mouth. So in verse 22, it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Why don't you look at that verse? You see when God was able to move? God already did it. He said, I'm with you, stand still. But as a demonstration of what they believed, they began to sing. And so then God set an ambush. I think sometimes we hinder God by our words. I think when we open our mouth in accordance with his, we'll release God's power. We'll release what God's wanting to do in our life. Amen. But if we're depressed and all negative, even though Christ has done the work from the foundations of the earth, it limits him. Yes. A lot of times we don't want to hear that, do we? We have a responsibility as God's people to declare his word, to believe him. Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you from this series I've been teaching on your authority. It's not just, you know, oh yes, I have authority, and man, live it. Get a revelation of that authority who lives in you. Jesus Christ, he is the authority. You are not the power source. He is the power source. Amen. Tap into that power source. Live it and reign in life, like it says in Romans 5:17. Reign in life. Amen. Amen. God bless you.